Amen. Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father and His precious Son, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to our Thursday evening Bible study. And even as the song went on and said, say the name. When you don't have any other name to call on, when you can't think about no one else, say the name of Jesus. He is the one that can deliver us, keep us, and whatever it is that we need, He is our provider. Yes. In the previous song, he asked, has anybody wanted to throw in the towel? And as I thought about that, I asked myself this question. If I threw in the towel, who would I throw it to? There's nobody that I can turn to or get whatever it is I need but Christ Jesus, because my sufficiency is in Him. Mm-hmm. And in Him we will live and move and have our being. Let us continue to study the last chapter of 2 Timothy. It was 2 Timothy chapter 4. Lord willing, we live. We will conclude Timothy on this evening. Again, that is 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. But what we want to share again, we now know peerless times means dangerous times. We know we are in dangerous times right now. We also know men are lovers of themselves among many other things. The world has become incapable and unwilling of telling the truth or keeping it. Mankind has become more violent and out of control. Sadly, this now exists both in the regular world and with some who profess to know God. They are being found with a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. False teachers are doing everything they can to win over whoever they can to believe and support what they believe, because the truth is lacking. They are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But we are fully aware of the doctrine of Christ. We are fully aware of His teachings and what we must do. We know our purpose. We see the foolishness of man. We are not ignorant of the devices of man or Satan. And in verse 1, this is what Paul says. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Paul gave Timothy a responsibility and duty. And we have a responsibility as well. With all the things going on, somebody needs to stop the mouths of the self-righteous. Somebody needs to speak the truth. Someone needs to stand fast in the liberty of Christ and tell a dying world about Jesus and how to live. Paul said in verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That is one of the issues today. Everything is being done and preached but the word. Concerts are going on, gatherings, sales in the church, socialization, but the word is lacking. In Titus, Paul said this, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. He said, exhort young men to be sober-minded, and show themselves a pattern of good works in doctrine. Teach them to be sincere and of sound speech. Timothy was told to be instant in and out of season. This means be urgent, whether times are good, prosperous, or unfavorable. Whenever there is an opportunity, preach the word. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Reprove. We must convince the conscience of men so they may be restored from the incorrect ways and mistakes. When rebuking, Correct those in the church that walk contrary to the teaching. Correct those who do not accept the order of God, so they too can be pulled out of the fire. Exhort, comfort the feeble-minded, and for those that carry out their duties with all long-suffering. And the reason for all of this is in the next verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Do you see this today? Many are growing weary of truth. In order to endure, you must be built up. People are looking for a loophole to do what they want. They will not endure sound doctrine. They reject it. Let's not give them a reason to reject the truth because of what or how we say it. Christians' teaching is sound teaching with wholesome words. Unsound people cannot endure sound doctrine, and sore eyes cannot abide in the light. Verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. They will turn their ears and gratify their wanton desires. Again, Paul told Titus, don't give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Again, all fables are fictitious stories. We don't have to look at Jewish fables. There are enough lies going around with them without knowing them. This is why, again, we need all scriptures that are given by the inspiration of God. That is why they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now let's look at what Paul wrote the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:11-17. That's Ephesians 4:11-17. Ephesians 4:11-17. And he gave some. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These have been given to keep us from the lies and snares of the enemy. And it was done with this purpose in mind, for the perfecting of the saints. We need to be mature so we will not fall or fail. For the work of the ministry, we need to know what our gifts are and responsibilities are. For the edifying of the body of Christ, we need to know how to lift up those that are weak. These gifts are here and will remain here. Verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are here until God's people get unified in the faith, until God's people become one in knowing who Jesus is. It is time for us to become upright in the fullness of Christ. And this is why the gospel must be preached. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children. If you are a babe, you are not strong enough to do things on your own. You can't walk, eat, or talk on your own or for yourself. So you need help. That is what the ministers of God are here for. So you won't be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. We are here to give the right food at the right time. We are learning to give the right amount so you won't choke. The world will choke you with words without knowledge or understanding. Then it says, by the sleight of men. Sleight means trickery and cunning craftiness. Men's objective and goal is to con you with crafty words, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We have heard too many teachings that are not right. We have been thrown about long enough. Teachings that have taken us away from Christ. We have been deceived and lied to long enough. It is time to take our rightful place in Christ. 15 says, but speaking the truth in love. What is important is the truth we speak must be in love, so we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is the charge given to those at Ephesus. This is the charge given to Timothy and Titus. This is the charge given to us as pastors and ministers, and the charge to everyone who knows who Jesus is. Speak the truth in love so others may grow up. Verse 16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. It is by the truth that we are joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. It is by the word of truth that we supply one another, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. It is by the sufficient work and the quality and quantity of every member in the body that maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If we can do and continue this, the body will be inseparable. In the time of famine, whether it is food or word, we will be able to supply one another. We will have increase in knowledge and lack nothing. 17 says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Don't walk, don't talk and act as the world does. As long as we let this mind be in us that is in Christ, our walk will not be in vain. Back to 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. But watch thou in all things. False teachers and the world will attack you and trouble you on every side. Therefore, guard and watch everywhere. The scripture teaches us to watch and pray. Endure afflictions. Endure the afflictions because they are going to come. Be of good courage. He who fears the frowns of man cannot faithfully carry out the duties of God. This is not just for leaders, but for everyone in Christ. Do the work of an evangelist. Don't be afraid to assist the leaders of the church by preaching, teaching, and publishing of the gospel from place to place. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made you free. Don't be entangled again with your own understanding. Remember, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul said, make full proof of thy ministry. Let the world see and know your work is to win souls. You are not there for their money. You are not there to trick them, but your purpose and concern is for their soul. Show them by good substantial proof that you are the true minister of righteousness. Remember, Romans said, we all have the ministry of reconciliation. This means we all are ministers of Christ, reconciling men back to God. Look at verse 6. Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. When you look at this verse, there are many things being said and many things to be understood. One, I am now ready would denote his work is done. And two, he is ready to go. With us, even if our work is done, not many of us would say, I'm ready to go. What Paul was saying is kind of like what happened to Elijah and Elisha. Several things Paul taught Timothy is in this book. One, he has taught Timothy the select officers. He taught him who should and should not hold office. He shared how each officer should carry themselves. and how the church should be run by the officers. It is important to know how the church should be run. It is important how to carry out the business of the church. It is important to keep the church fitly joined together so souls may continue to come and have a place to worship. This is better explained spiritually and understood in 1 Corinthians 12. Here it talks about the gifts and their functions as well, but if the church is not conducted and carried on properly, it will not stand. Just like the house built on sand, over time it will sink. But Paul has lived and left Timothy a good example. He says in verse 7, I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight. In a Christian life, there can be much conflict and warfare. Paul certainly had his share. And remember, it goes without saying, much given, much required. The conflict that we struggle with, it is with sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I have finished my course. This too is a race we must run. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain, or let your minds be fixed on the reward. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Or every man who takes part in a sport has self-control in all things. Whether you are a boxer, play football, basketball, or baseball, you must have self-control. So in the ministry of the gospel, it is important you have maintained self-control that your crown may be incorruptible. I have kept the faith. I have maintained the faith of the gospel. I have carefully guarded the faith which was committed to me. I have lived a life of faithfulness to the Father. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, yes, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This is the reward God in his kindness has promised to them who are faithful to the grace he has bestowed upon them. Then it says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. This is simply a desire of Paul for Timothy to come speedily to him, having a great desire to see him and be comforted by him before he died. Looking at verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for this ministry. All of these men, no doubt, were out spreading the gospel to plant or water the churches. Only Luke was with him. Nothing could separate Luke from him. He was a faithful friend. Look at verse 12. Antiochus have I sent to Ephesus. As we see, Paul had many men under his wing or umbrella in the gospel. And then it says, the cloak that I left at Troas and Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. These are things Paul asked for. It is said and believed he asked for the cloak because it was winter and it was need to keep him warm in the prison. The books were the scriptures of the Old Testament, and the parchments were his personal notes. And Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord rewarded him, and the Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he had greatly withstood our words. There were many that did him evil in the gospel. Even though he did, Paul's job was not to cast evil on them or to take matters into his own hand. But they reminded the Lord would deal with them. We must remember, even today, with those that do us wrong, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If we are to do anything, it would be as it says at the end of the verse 15. Beware, because many will withstand the words of life that you give. And what it also tells us in the scriptures is to pray for them that are in authority, or pray for those that despitefully use you. Verse 16 says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So in spite of all that forsake you or will stand against you, do not lay it to their charge. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 17 says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And surely, just as he delivered Paul, he will deliver us. This is what Paul believed for his end. And this is what we live for and believe will be our end. That truly, as we live and move and have our being, when it is our time to go, we rest and believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We too live to say, I am now ready. The battle has been fought and the victory is won. Verse 19, salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus and Eurytus, abode at Corinth, for Trophimus have I left and Millennium sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. At the end, he gives respect and honor to those who labored in the gospel with him. And notice he does not say, riches be with you, or honors be with you, or the favor of man be with you, but grace. For it is the abundant words of life that is needed. It is the grace of God that is needed in these last days. Honors and riches are not going to keep you in the trying times. I will close with Galatians 6:18, where Paul says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.